Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and down. Leaps his tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got 22 for Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. It is Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I am not going to lie to you. I was actually glad that the Warriors-Rockets game was a blowout because it allowed me to flip around a little bit between channels. Mm-hmm. Got to bed a little bit earlier than I would if it had to come down to the wire. So I was a little bit glad to see that. Our boy Raja is not in today. He had some little travel issues. He was at a basketball tournament up in New York, had some travel issues getting home. But I think it was good news because I think his team did better than he expected, which is why they were cutting it close. So congrats to Raja and his boys for having a pretty good game up there in New York. And we'll get him back on Wednesday. We're going to do, believe it or not, this will be later, so you don't have to stick around. If you don't like it, you can just stop listening later. We'll do a little Royal Wedding breakdown, a little Billboard Music Awards breakdown. That's why we have Hannah here, the expertise on the dress. I thought the second one was way better, by the way.
The second one was so much better.
So much better. But we're going to get in-depth into that. But talked about it off the top. The Warriors, it's a wrap. I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. Honestly, when I watch the NBA, especially the playoffs, I feel duped a little bit. Because all season long, I was like, you know what? The Rockets, they look pretty good. They look like they might have a chance to beat this team. And now I feel like I was a sucker. Like I fell into this. Oh yeah, these teams are as good as the Warriors. No one is as good as this team. There's a reason they're a super team. There's a reason that they coast through the regular season. There's a reason they don't play any defense in the regular season because they don't have to. They flip the switch, and once they turn it on, no one in this league can hang with them. And you could probably put an all-star team together of other teams, and they still wouldn't be able to hang with the Warriors. They won by 41 points last night. I think it was the type of win that was demoralizing for the Rockets. Like, they had absolutely everything go against them. It was the Warriors reestablishing their dominance in this one after losing the second game in Houston. Mike D'Antoni talked about it, and he said this after the game.
We didn't box off. It's just, one thing led to another. We played soft, actually. I mean, you can't do that with these guys. These guys are good. And we still might not have won. Even with force, you got to play well. We didn't make shots early. We turned it over.
See, that was the critical.
It was a very good game.
The little,
we're going to have to play a lot better on Tuesday.
The little subtlety in there where he goes, even if we didn't play soft, we might not have won. That comment right there speaks volumes about this. Because Houston can play as good as they can play. And if the Warriors play to their potential, they don't have a chance. They have to get the Warriors on an off night like they got in game two. That's the only way they're going to win. And it's just, it's so obvious to me that they're going to win the championship. And I don't think it's an overreaction.
Yeah, it just shows what this team can do when they're all in sync. Because you said it in game two, like especially when Curry wasn't doing so well, they completely showed up in this game.
Yeah, so Steph, there was a lot of speculation. Was he still hurt from his knee injury? I think, and Raja actually pointed this out, said, you know what, he's probably not in basketball shape.
Yeah.
And that's bad news for the Rockets that he finally kind of found his rhythm. I thought he would find it at home when he was back at Oracle playing in front of his home crowd, that he would feel more comfortable. And he's like, shooters shoot, right? The more, just keep shooting, keep going. And I'm sure that's a message Steve Kerr was giving to Steph Curry.
Right.
I'm sure that's the message all of his teammates were giving to him. He caught fire in the third quarter. He was 7-7 from the field in the third quarter. Just finished with a dominant performance, 35 points, 6 rebounds. It was as dominant as it gets. And he actually, he had a moment in there. So Steph is like the golden boy of the NBA, I guess you could call him, like this pristine image with Aisha and the kids, like family guy. Like, it's one of the reasons I like him.
Yeah.
And he had one of those moments where hit a big shot, did the little shimmy, looked up in the crowd and got into it. Right.
Yeah.
And he dropped an F-bomb. Right. And everybody kind of could read lips. You could see that it was very obvious. He actually pulled a Raja Bell. Because Raja said that he blacked out when he clotheslined Kobe. Here's Steph talking about his celebration.
Well, I was just talking to myself almost, like, you got to be your biggest fan sometimes. And no matter, like I said, no matter what questions I was, being asked over the first two games or what the expectation was, I have the highest expectations for myself. And you just got to find whatever it is to get you going. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it felt good and you want to, you know, use that energy to, you know, show your teammates that you're here, you're with them, and get the crowd into it.
Were you surprised at all that he did this?
No, I feel like once you're really into it, yeah. Like, think about where he's coming from too. Like, he's just now, like, you know, he's getting his groove back a
totally.
Little bit. Like, he's feeling himself. I mean, I think it's fine, right?
No, oh, absolutely.
And especially someone like him who never does stuff like that. Like,
right.
I'm like, by all means, like, you have your moment. You deserve this moment.
During the game, though, he's not the poster boy. He does that shimmy. If another player, if LeBron did a shimmy, people
are you a Steph
cocky.
Hater?
No, I like Steph.
Okay, because
like
there are a lot of Steph haters.
Yeah.
I think KD's the best player on that team, but
sure.
I like Steph.
Absolutely. And obviously what he means to that team, I think he showed last night by them totally, completely dominating that one, not looking as dominant in the first two games because he was a little bit off. It is a super team because there are four guys who, if there's one that's off, the other one can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
KD hasn't even had that off night. It's just that Steph happened to be on. But there are a lot of Steph haters. And I think they feel like he gets a pass for whatever reason. And there's a racial component to it where I don't know if he's black enough for a lot of people that watch him play and they don't like that. They feel like maybe that's why he gets a pass. Maybe it's because he presents himself in such a family guy way.
Right.
They don't like that for whatever reason he doesn't get criticized the same way as other NBA stars do. I get it.
He's done a good job.
Absolutely.
Right?
He's a two-time MVP. He's done a good job. You were right. He's done a good job of creating this image.
Right.
But see, the difference is, and this is why I'm okay with him getting that pass, is I think it's really who he is. I think it's authentic. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think he's a phony. A guy
right.
that would actually be out there, but on the weekends, he's out there hustling like he has three mm-hmm. side chicks on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's that guy.
Right. I agree.
And then,
tell me he's not that guy.
I know, right? If we ever find out, like, as Steph fans, we'd be devastated.
No, he's done a good job of presenting this, like, wholesome image. And so I think when you're, like, feeling that moment, it comes off, you're right, as just authentic.
Right.
And that we can, you know.
So I think there are a couple places where you can actually just get freedom from cursing. Like, if you don't curse other places, like, you get just carte blanche. Like, you can curse in these places.
Mm-hmm.
One is in the car, like, road rage. Like, and I have to watch it because that's – I don't curse a whole lot, but in the car when I'm driving is one place. And now that I have little kids, like I have to watch it with them. I know, exactly.
So tough.
And they actually learned cursing from their mother when they were driving with her. The golf course is the other one. And then any other playing field. Like, the golf course is just so frustrating because it's a frustrating sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plan. Like, if you were playing a sport, and that's what you do, basketball, if it was the NFL, or just like you're playing pickup, like that's the place where I feel like it's just – anything goes.
Would you curse if you did something good like Steph or more when you mess up?
Probably both.
Yeah.
But I had more opportunities when I messed up. So that
like
was what I was.
Yes or no.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like the golf course isn't like an aggressive place to curse.
It definitely is.
Like, is there, I don't know.
Because there's so much. It's so quiet and pristine.
Right,
but if you screw up, like, it's so frustrating. That there's
like
so
yell?
Much built up tension. Oh yeah.
You're mature. Like, you have kids. When's the last time you threw a club?
I threw a club at Coral Ridge Country Club. I threw my putter in the lake on the 18th hole. That was probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
No. It wasn't. It was less than that because my daughter's 10 and she remembers. This was like 6 or 7 years ago. So my wife was watching me come in and she was like waiting for me. We're going to go swimming at the pool after with my kids.
Yeah.
So she was waiting there with my daughter and I didn't know they were there. And so she's witnessed this with my daughter. And it was one of those moments where, yeah, exactly. She's like, Dad, what are you doing? I was like, the putter was broken, which I think it was. So he definitely gets a pass.
Steph's mom. Sonia texted him right after the game and said, you need to wash your mouth out with soap.
See, that was,
I've gotten that one.
That
before.
Was my biggest fear. I would get asked to be mic'd up by like NFL films when I was starting in the New York Giants. And I never wanted to do it because I was terrified my mom would find it somewhere and she'd be able to listen to
Ooh.
It. Because that'd be the one time I'm like, I can't do it. My mom, there's one clip. I was at the Orange Bowl and I threw three picks and I got benched. And after one of them, they had a close up of me and I said, damn it. And I was worried my mom would see that.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like,
she must be tough.
Oh, yeah. My parents were strict, man.
I like that Curry's mom said that, though. I can respect that.
That is
my
classy.
Mom used to wash
that's
my mouth
classic.
Out with soap, like,
oh,
physically.
I got
so.
It, too. I got the mouth
God,
with soap.
God, that's the worst.
That was better than the wooden spoon, which my mom actually broke on me on my backside when I was being a little smart aleck as a kid.
Oh, man.
So I think it's a wrap. I don't, Debo, you see anything else? You think anything different?
In five? Do you
yeah.
think they wanna-
I see. I think they might come out bored again. They might like just be a little bit lethargic. Or no, I think they'll get. I think Houston could win Game 5
back
in
Houston,
and then they'll win Game 6 back in Oracle. But it wouldn't shock me at all if they just coast to him now. Because I think Houston might have this look. And you could tell D'Antoni was – he would call timeouts like as soon as it got to 12 or 13 because he knew it would get out of hand. And if it gets out of hand, you're screwed. Like, you cannot come back against this team. Like, what they just close it out. I don't know, because he had a really strong game one. I think this team is just better. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for LeBron if he's the one that faces him or it's the Celtics. They're just that much better. Like, they have more. Like, you know, LeBron said they could take plays off at certain times. The Golden State Warriors can take plays off a lot, and then they can really focus their defensive efforts on James Harden and take it off on the offensive side of the court. So he's always getting a top-notch defensive player or effort on him. And I think that's huge. I think that makes it really tough on guys like him.
That's understandable about his play, but sometimes I think it's demeanor and effort when they get hit in the face. You remember the Clipper series a couple years ago, Spurs last year. This one, it's just when they get down, Harden's not the guy to respond, and you expect an MVP, the guy that's going to be awarded the MVP
Absolutely.
In June, to respond.
He's not going to be somebody he isn't, right? Because he's not the guy that's the fiery vocal guy. He has the very nonchalant body language, which I think is one of the reasons it makes him kind of special, because he makes it look so effortless. But at the same time, if you're getting beat the way they are, it can look like you don't care or like you hung it up. And I think that's probably why D'Antoni called this team out in the postgame, calling them soft, saying, hey, we have to play tougher than that. And Harden actually admitted it, said, hey, we did play soft. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think it's a wrap. I think it's done. And I think it's done for the entire NBA season. But we're still going to be here talking about it. And it'll be better when we have Raja to break it down, too. The Cavs-Celtics, I thought this was – I think I took this as a lock, didn't I, in our picks and props? I thought the Cavs would have – they'd have multiple days rest. They had 4 days rest going back to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. LeBron would put the team on his back. The supporting cast would play better. And you saw that. You saw Kyle Korver was 4-for-4 from threes off the bench. You saw the rest of the role players contribute because they feel comfortable. They feel better at home. And Boston, for the first time, they really, you know, played in a hostile environment in this series. They're 1-5 on the road this postseason. It hasn't been a great recipe for them. You know, they didn't look that great. So it's this series, I think, is very interesting. Like, does it play out the home and home teams win? Can the Celtics steal one when they play in Cleveland the next game? I still feel like Boston is the better roster top to bottom. I think they're the better coach team, but they don't have LeBron. And that's the great neutralizer in this sport is LeBron James. Marcus Morris, you know, wasn't as great as he was in the first two games. LeBron had more success against him. He actually called himself out. Marcus Morris did and said, I have to play better against him. Good luck with that. But it's just, I think this series will be interesting. I had Cleveland going into this one. And then after the first two games, I was like, you know, and then, but saying that, I was like, I'm not going to overlook Boston the way I did in the first two series. In the first part of this post, I'm not going to overlook them. Felt better about it, but I didn't switch my pick away from the Cavs. Because I still feel like Cleveland could get this one at home, and all they need is that one game to get in Boston to kind of flip that home court, get it back in their favor.
I was a little bored by this game.
I've been bored by all these games. They all suck.
I like went out to watch this game. I mean, it was raining all weekend. Like, I was like, got to get out of the house. The girls and I met at the bar to do it. I actually ran into half of the CVS office, so that was great.
Nice.
They were all on a table
Always
behind
fun
me.
Seeing the work
I know.
Out.
But no, we were bored. Like, we were really ready to watch a game that was like really tight, and it wasn't the entire time, which was good for the Cavs. Like, they needed that.
Yes.
It came a little close towards the end there, you know, per usual, but
they desperately needed that.
Yeah.
So that's a good point you make, because I felt the same way. I was actually at a party, a friend of mine's birthday party, and he had it on. So we had like 30 people watching the game. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were not interested because it wasn't close. Like, the Cavs took control early and it never looked back. And then we were like, all right, well, let's just keep drinking and having fun.
That's exactly
so that was a good thing about it. But that brings up something that's been talked about a little bit through this postseason. The NBA playoffs as a whole have been pretty trash. Like, it's been pretty tough to watch. There have not been many compelling games to watch outside of the first series of games. The first round of the playoffs.
The first round.
Was thoroughly entertaining. You had the Pacers-Cavs was probably the highlight of that one when they had, you know, a couple, you know, seven-game series, took it deep. There were some tight games. You had the potential underdog upset. There have been some decent other games, but so far in the conference finals this year, you've had the margins of victory have been 25, 13, 30, 13, 22, and 41. 41 was the largest win in Warriors playoff history, the largest Rockets loss. Ugh. These games, like, that's as somebody who has no rooting interest in a team, like mm-hmm. I'm a Heat fan, they're mm-hmm. done. I want to see close
see what
games.
There.
I want
right.
to see, yeah. Yeah,
we
yeah,
saw what
yeah,
happened
yeah.
there.
Yeah, well, how's the team doing? How did the Sixers do?
Yeah, but six, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah
even though that that was a 5-game series, and that was entertaining though.
No, that the well, Sixers and Heat game, I was going to say, or that that series was super entertaining.
Besides Game 5.
Yeah, no, it was super entertaining. It was like they were so close the entire series.
So that's, but that's all I look for is games that are going right. to be close. You want to see something that is up for grabs
you
in the fourth
see the
quarter.
Aggression.
Yeah, I want to see potential game winners. Yeah. I want to see intensity. I want to see a crowd that's desperate that doesn't know if their team's going to win or not. And we haven't seen that at all. And I don't, the NBA regular season ratings were up all season long. Everybody was raving about what a great season it was.
The ratings through the first two rounds were also up compared to previous years.
Ooh,
but
really?
We don't know if that's going to be reflected in the last two rounds with you just seeing blowouts. And
Roger right.
detailed it last week. The influx of the three-pointer is a possible reason why these games are getting so out of hand because they establish these leads if you hit all the threes.
Yep. And if you get a team that's off, and especially if you get a team that's off or they stop making the threes, then they can get ugly. I also think there's a tendency now – and you guys, you millennials, are going to get mad at me, Debo and Hannah sitting here. I think there's a tendency when you're down by 20 or whatever the number is to kind of start thinking about the next game, just kind of hit reset and be like, all right, this game's a wash. Let me save my legs. Let me save my
I
everything.
I wish the Celtics thought that way.
What yeah, does this have to do with millennials?
Because that's very attention millennial span. Thing to do. Attention span, exactly.
I don't know. I saw that as a personal thing.
So George O'Leary was the head coach at UCF. I remember him telling me this because mm-hmm. he had a very much a problem with the young kids of this generation. Now he was the get off my lawn because he was older.
Okay.
I'm saying in a very loving way for millennials because I love you millennials. He said there's a reset generation because he said nobody wants to fight through adversity mm-hmm. because they're used to playing video games. And if you start losing, you just take out, you just hit reset and you just quit. You just quit the game and start over.
Eureka.
Which feels like a lot of what's happening in these NBA playoffs.
That's
like the teams are done.
So
they're like, all right, just get out of here. Let's get to the next game.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. I just visualized me like blowing on my N64.
Yes.
Trying to restart it.
When Hannah places 98th in Fortnite, she just hits reset.
I don't even play Fortnite. I can't freaking
I am debating. I feel like a loser, but I feel like I should get one just to see what all the fuss is about.
I'm not
like
a
I feel like I should get the game and try it and see if I get a ticket.
I would like to be excluded from
the
start.
I think so.
I'm afraid of that.
Right. I think so. I
already have gambling.
Yeah, that's true. We are. That's enough of a vice. It would be a lot cheaper though to get addicted to Fortnite. I'll tell you that. All right, let's keep it rolling with some overreaction or a proper reaction from stuff we saw this weekend. All right, the Golden Knights are the best thing to happen to hockey in recent memory.
As a very casual fan, this posed to you,
I would say that is the proper reaction. I think it's been a great story. I actually love their story. Mm-hmm. I think they were given a huge advantage by the NHL because of their expansion rules. They were given a better setup and a better opportunity to succeed early. I love their attitude because they were able to pull players from other teams, the players that weren't protected, so they felt like they got screwed over. But then they embraced it, and they've been on fire. And I think the other thing that caught me off guard was Vegas as a home ice, like a home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be – I didn't think it would matter because I thought most of the fans would be other teams going to Vegas to watch the team play.
Right.
So you'd have a lot of Rangers fans going from
That's
New York
true.
To look. But it hasn't played out. Like the Vegas home crowd has actually been insane. Like they actually do have a really impressive home ice advantage, and I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be interesting to see if that happens in the NFL. Because
that's
this is
point.
A city that's never really had their, but they're obviously big sports fans, the
right.
sports books, and you know, it's a critical part of their business. And I think this town has been thirsty for not the good thirsty.
The good
they've
thirsty,
been hungry.
Yeah.
They've been hungry for a sports franchise, mm-hmm. and I think you're seeing that.
No, I agree. I think this is really good for the NHL as a whole. Like this is exactly what they needed. They don't have enough, and we're a perfect example. They don't have enough of a strong fan base that really follows them, and it's cool to see them kind of create this. And I mean, everybody's on board. Like everybody in some capacity is rooting for Vegas.
Yeah, totally. You know who's not rooting for them? The actual sports books themselves. Because the odds coming into the season, you could get them. I don't even 100-1 would have been awful. Like if you had 100-1, you should be kicking yourself. Because I've seen anywhere 300-1 all the way up to 500-1.
Wow.
And you know the Vegas home fans definitely took that. So the Vegas sports books are sweating it out a little bit because they will be the big losers if the Golden Knights actually do win the Stanley Cup. So that'll be something interesting to watch play out. I did not take them. I wish I had. All right, next up, overreaction or proper reaction? Carl Anthony Towns will not be in Minnesota next season. So he and the Timberwolves are, quote, not in a good place internally. So when did this come out?
Over the weekend. Over the weekend? Reported by ESPN Zach Lowe, not in a good place.
So he was the number one overall pick in 2015. He's got 1 year left on a rookie deal. Isn't he in a great place? I thought I saw him partying with some super hot Instagram model, like in Mexico. Like yeah, over the weekend, like he should be in a great place.
He's in a good place mentally, but not internally.
Not with the with the squad.
Minnesota.
What's his? Do you know his contract status?
It's just a rookie deal. What they typically get, it's slotted for number one overall picks. It's just I don't know.
So
if
he's
it's
got 1 year left on his rookie
Tibbs,
deal.
It's something about wanting to be in a bigger market as a star. About his cast of characters around him.
I think he's still going to be there. I think the overreaction is that he's gone. I think he'll still be there, but it doesn't surprise me at all because Tibbs is not an easy coach to play for. In Chicago, rode a lot of his guys in the ground, likes to ride them hard, likes to play them a lot of minutes. That is not new school style of coaching, you know, where you get your players rest. I think maybe there's some friction there, but to say he'd be out, I think I'd be shocked.
The CBA is set up where you should have one of those top guys for at least the first 7 years of your career. You should be able to re-sign him really 8-9 years.
Because it would cost him a fortune to go somewhere else, right?
But if the Timberwolves really do not believe that they'll be able to re-sign him next year if he wants to go to whatever it is, that bigger market,
trade him.
Do they try to move him around draft time?
I don't think they do because of what you're talking about. I think they realize they have the majority of the leverage when it comes around. They'll say, all right, you can do it. Carl Anthony Towns is actually he's a very mature player for a guy who's younger in his career. He thinks differently. Like I got to meet him and I talked to him, and he's kind of a nerd. Like he's not your typical NBA like guy that
you
like at
the
club.
Like 19?
Yeah. Like he's not the typical guy who's like out in the club. Like he's a gamer like on Saturday night, like not on the Wednesday night because you're on the road. He's kind of a keep to himself kind of nerd. But I think he'll figure it out. I think he's a professional. I think he's mature enough to kind of figure it out. But I think it's good he's voicing his opinion because I think maybe Tibbs will have to adjust to coaching him. All right, next up, Johnny Manziel will play in the NFL again. Overreaction or proper reaction?
I'm so, like, torn. I don't know. Because part of me, I applaud him.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, eh, fine.
So I think it's an overreaction to say he will play in the NFL again.
Yeah, that's true.
The overreaction is that. So he officially announced on Instagram, of course, that he will be joining the CFL's Hamilton Tiger Cats. It looks like it's going to lock him in. Now, this is the deal where I think if you're a player and you're trying to get back in the NFL, somebody who's been there, that the CFL is the worst option.
It really is.
Because they have you for 2 years. They have this agreement, like that's the only thing they'll let you do, is they own you for 2 years. So he could go out, win the Grey Cup, be MVP of the league, and he still has to play there. There could be NFL teams that want to sign him, and they cannot get his rights. Now, maybe because he's Manziel, he had something written to his contract where he can get out of it. I'd be surprised if that was the situation. But and
he's
it's very
win, he's got to win the QB battle first.
Yeah,
know who's battling with?
Yeah,
Jeremiah Masoli.
Yeah, the kid from Oregon who went to Ole Miss. Yeah, so and he's not bad. Like, but I think Manziel they'll play him because of ticket sales. Like, there would be some politics in this one. You guys don't know this. I actually went to Vancouver I was recruited to play for the BC Lions. So I actually flew out there and I was not very, it's kind of like what I did in college when I went to Washington to Seattle to take a recruiting visit to University of Washington. Mm-hmm. I was not very serious about signing with BC, but I wanted to take the trip to Vancouver because I'd never been, heard it was a great town and it was. But the thing that scared me off was the 2 year commitment. So that's why I went and signed Arena Football. Because you can sign one year and then go.
Who did he play with?
I don't remember.
Oh, for the arena team?
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We did? The New York Dragons, baby.
I asked him. It was like a flub. It was like a flub somewhere else. Somebody thought you played in the NFL for like X amount of years. And I was like, no, there was.
For four different teams.
And then I was like.
Professional teams.
Right.
Yeah, because I was paid to play for the Dragons. Not very much. But I am rooting for him as long as he's legit because we've been duped by him before. But I do feel like he's doing things the right way. I do feel like he's remorseful. I think he does realize he has a problem. I think he's trying to get healthy. But I don't know if the best way to do it is to have a Barstool like show. Isn't he doing a bar? Didn't they announce?
Podcast.
Oh, it's only a podcast?
Comeback season.
All right, then that's not that big a deal. I thought it was going to be a reality show.
No, I mean, he's married now. I'm hoping he's,
oh, that settles everything.
I'm hoping he's like going in the route of
just, calming down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just,
stabilizing
know, like,
his life a little bit.
I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I really am hoping that he's going to just stay focused. I really hope that he can pull that off. I don't know if he can. I guess this will be like a test.
You want comeback season to be a success.
Yeah, that
I'd like
would
to
be
see it
such
success.
A cool story.
I love comeback stories. Again, as long as he's legit and stays true to what he's saying.
Right.
And but see, I feel like he has been deceitful before. Like, because mm-hmm. I remember talking to him and he was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, when I get to the NFL, I'm going to be a pro and I'm going to learn how to do this right. and I'm going to stay out of trouble and I'm going to be a franchise quarterback.
Such a ham.
Exactly. Because he is Eddie Haskell of the NFL. He knows what to say to mm-hmm. get you to buy in and get you to like him.
Yeah.
But this is different. I do feel like he's more humble this time around because he's had everything taken away, because he's had
right.
so many issues.
And I do think he's a good guy. I also think that it would be huge if he was a success and kind of stayed out of that party world, because it would be such a good story for people who are struggling
mm-hmm.
with that whole scene. You know, and like addiction problems or whatever. Like, it would just be cool. It'd be
yeah.
inspiring.
No, it'd be
so
great. And he could
be
a great role model.
Exactly.
Like, moving forward. Let's get him some success first. And then he can be the role model.
Fingers
All
crossed.
Right. Next up, overreaction or proper reaction. We should be worried about the Julio Jones and Atlanta Falcons relationship. So we covered it here on Kinnell and Bell on Off the Bench. He deleted his social media posts on IG. Everything that was involved in the Falcons, he took it off. Now, this is more serious, because at the time you're like, eh, he said he was resetting, although he did keep everything on there, aside that didn't have Falcons gear on. He's not there for OTAs. He's skipping OTAs. He's made it clear he wants a raise. He's scheduled to make $10.5 million in 2018. It's 12th among receivers. Guys like Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Adams, they're all ahead of him. His deal is through 2020. He will earn $12.5 million in 2019, $11.4 million in 2020. This to me is very frustrating. There are a lot of instances where I feel like players have every right to be upset about what they're making, to hold out, to voice their disgruntlement. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
This is not one of them. You negotiated this deal with your agent. You got a bad deal. You have to finish it out and stay true to your obligation. And it's not like you're egregiously underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
You might be underpaid. But that, again, that was your fault for getting yourself and signing this contract.
I don't know. I kind of feel for him.
You do. You feel bad for him making 10.5 mil.
$10.5 mil.
What's the higher paid?
Ooh,
14.5. So he's like $3 or $4 million extra.
It's just an ego thing. It's
just,
I mean, he knows he should be making more money. The only thing that I don't like about this is I don't like the public fit. Right? Like, I think deleting Instagram and doing all that stuff is
That's
so
stupid.
It's so just like whiny to me. I think figure this out privately. If you can't, then make a drastic change.
Right.
Then just be bold with it.
See, but he's made a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and he negotiated this deal. Like
right.
this is his contract that he agreed to. So if
when did he
he can talk the Falcons into bumping it up and maybe for salary cap okay. reasons, you get an extension and they basically just push the money forward and they'll give you some
yeah.
more guaranteed up front. Good for him, but to display the level of pettiness that he is by skipping OTAs. And when I say petty, I'm talking about the Instagram stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really petty and kind of stupid. And he better be careful. He's going to lose the fans that he's talking about, like his home fans, because you can lose your fan base really fast if you complain about making $10 million.
That
right?
is true.
Like,
except,
so he's got to be careful.
I don't know if he's going to lose his fans.
No,
and Atlanta, they love him. But you're right.
Do.
You're right.
Yeah.
I
but
mean,
wait, you know, but it can get a little bit dicey.
More petty. Deleting Instagram or doing sit-ups in your driveway?
The sit-ups in the driveway.
What's the sit-ups in the driveway?
That was Terrell Owens. And holding a press conference while you're doing it. I don't know. Was that impromptu? Like, did he call them there or did they find him
doing it? Was that a Meghan Markle dad situation? He called the paparazzi and
yes.
set it up?
Yeah, I think that,
no.
that was Drew Rosenhaus. I think it was his agent
Meghan
was there,
Markle's
too. And he
dad
definitely
was like,
did it. Yeah. All right, save it. We're getting to the royal wedding for a little bit. Let's do real quick. Let's do some picks and props because we need to be on this because we have new laws. I think you can actually go to sports books in 5 states right now and you can put money on different sports.
That's
in
true.
Mississippi, in New Jersey, you know, there's some states that already have it set up and ready to go. So you want your expertise right
I
here.
I got you.
All right. NHL, Caps versus Lightning. The Caps are favored. They're minus 125. Tampa Bay Lightning plus 105.
Caps at home tonight have lost three straight after going up 2-0 in the series.
Ooh.
Do they force a game seven?
Yes, I think they do. Now, they've had their playoff woes. Like, they're well documented that this team has had the talent. Ovechkin has had his problems. I think they win at home. I think they're gonna get this game. So I'd take the Caps minus 125. You on board with me, or are you saying they choke?
I'll go Caps.
Yeah.
We're gonna start keeping track, and we're doing picks and props daily now because of these laws.
Right, because it's a necessity.
And a prop every day.
Because we want to make people money every day.
We're actually gonna keep track now. Okay. We had our fun in the football season.
Yeah.
Danny won the Super Bowl. Danny did well in March Madness, the Masters.
Right. So are we gonna have like a fake money account situation? I think we should.
We might be allowed to have real money.
That's
now.
True.
You guys are really going Capitals?
Yeah. Oh, whoa. All right.
No. I'm 110% going Lightning. I don't know if you guys have been paying any attention, but since day one, NHL, I've said Lightning.
You have?
Yeah. I like
Boom.
She's a big Vasilevsky girl.
Yes. Andre Vasilevsky.
All right.
Bring it.
There it is. So there's your lock of the week from Hannah.
Lock of the week.
Lightning plus 105.
The prop today, over under 3.5. It's 3.5 save drafts about Kevin Durant and Draymond Green's mom's Twitter that she didn't get to use because the Warriors won last night. Now, after the game two Warriors loss, his mom, a little bit upset, she tweeted in a reply, "What you talking about? It's more to a game than shots. It's everyone else left standing around, never to get into position. Swing the ball, pass the ball around at the 7-second mark and take the shot, not at the 21-second mark. ISO, ISO, ISO. They beat us at our own game." She probably had to hold off on that because of the win last night. So over under 3.5 save drafts.
I'm going to say under because the game was going so well, because they had it in control. I love Draymond's mom. Like, she's not holding back. She's been known to do this a lot. And you see where Draymond gets it from. Like, he's an emotional leader who likes to talk a lot of trash. Mm-hmm. It's come straight from his mom.
Yeah, bring on the mom talk.
She knows how to bring it. So I'm going to say under on that one. I don't know how we're going to confirm that for our actual real money.
No, we'll just
do the
picks. The props are just going to be.
What if I have, like, a game that I have a lock that I want to get on our podcast?
You tell me.
Okay, I don't. But not for this one, but I'm going to start looking for them.
Not a ton going. How about Cavs, Celtics tonight. Cavs favored by 6.5. We didn't have that one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Because I had the.
You said you were done
over
with the NBA. It's a lock, so.
Yeah, but you got to make it interesting.
Game by game, that's what makes it interesting.
Are we putting any money on this Lightning Capitals thing?
Yes, that's one of that's. We'll have a side bet after. Okay. $100
the pod.
$100
$100? No way. Can we do
not
5?
That yeah.
Let's do like a coffee.
All right. Perfect. Because it's free out there in the other room. All right.
That's true.
I would probably lean Celtics that they'll keep one close. I would say the Cavs probably might pull this one out, but I'd say it's closer. But if you follow the trend of the playoffs and the conference finals, they've been all blowouts. But I would probably lean Celtics. That's not a lock though, for sure. All right. What do we got? Read and react. Hannah's going to give us some headlines from CBS Sports HQ and I'll give you my reaction.
All right. Tua Tagovailoa says that he's considered transferring from Alabama before national title game breakout.
Duh. Everybody does this nowadays. And he actually walked it back and he said the comments were taken out of context, which whatever. You said it. Just, it's okay if you thought that. You didn't leave. You got to play and the rest is history. Now you're fine. Now Jalen Hurts might transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this is a sad reality of where we are. If a player is a heavily recruited guy, 4- or 5-star recruit, and he doesn't start a couple years in, he's going to consider transferring.
Yeah, but that was his first year in.
Yeah, but
he's
so
a stud.
Over this.
Freshman. True.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're going to do it, I think he's looking at it of, hey, Jalen Hurts is young too. He's going to have to wait a long time to play.
I don't think it's worth it to transfer. I remember when we talked about this initially with Jalen Hurts, Raja was like, no, it's better to transfer. And I like understand that opinion, but I also just feel like it's more traditional. Just like you committed, stick it out. Like, so what if you're not getting what you want?
Hannah with the old school take.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yes.
If you're not getting what you want, like, tough luck.
I used to have your mindset. I used to think that all the time. Like, I hate guys that quit and don't want to compete and they want to take their ball and go home because it feels like that. I've evolved my opinion that you have to look at each situation specifically. You can't just have a blanket philosophy on this one. I wish you could, but you can't because it gets really complex because of the guys that are on the roster.
Baker Mayfield have been the number one overall pick if he didn't transfer?
From Texas Tech?
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't have. Because he would have put up monster numbers, but they would have looked at him differently, and he wouldn't have had the success he did.
Pays off sometimes.
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. Other times it doesn't.
Aaron Rodgers has a plan to convince the Packers to keep him around well into his 40s.
40 is the new 30 in the NFL. It is no doubt guys are thinking this way. Their training, their nutrition plans are better than they ever have been. And you know what else it is? It's become the thing to say you can play into your 40s, like whether you want to or not. And a lot of this has to do with his contract that's coming up. He wants to make sure that he's set himself up in a positive position where the team views him as a long-term solution. So this is really not a surprise for me either.
I don't like this.
You don't?
I don't care. Like, not one part of me cares. Like, maybe if you just, I don't know, had a good season, like, didn't get injured when you were my right. best player on fantasy.
But that's the other reason why he has to tell them why he can play so much longer, that there aren't any injury concerns.
Who else plays well into their 40s?
Tom Brady.
No. Drew Brees. Besides Tom Brady.
Drew Brees.
How old is Drew Brees?
He might be. Is he 39?
39 or 40.
Yeah, he's getting up there. He's still producing at a high level. Kickers. Who's my man? Vinatieri's like 40, 55.
you're right.
He's ancient.
Brees turned 39 in January.
Yeah. There's a couple. There aren't many. It's not happening a whole lot.
How old is LeBron?
33.
Oh, he's so young.
I know. And we talk
he's
about
so
him
young.
Like he's still he's
who's
still,
like the oldest player who's still going, like in any league right now?
How Vince old? Carter, right?
Vince Carter,
he might
41.
Be 40, yeah.
Manu, Jason Terry's 41 on the Bucks.
Yeah. You can do it.
I don't know. I'm not comeback. Buying into this at all.
All right.
Yammer Yager was in the NHL until he was 46.
That's yeah. true, but he is an elite player.
And they skate. So there's
I
less
love
impact.
Yammer Yager.
Oh, hockey guys gonna be mad.
All right. I don't know if you guys caught this one, but Justify inches closer to Triple Crown with Win. Does anyone think of Justified like Justin Timberlake's first solo album when they say Justify?
Nope.
not till now, but now I do. Now every time I see him, I'll think of JT.
Anyways, this was really exciting. Who paid attention?
I did.
You did?
Actually, because it was at the same party I was at to my buddy's birthday party. He wanted to watch this race. And he wanted to watch the playoffs, the NBA playoffs games.
Did you
this
bet
one
on this?
Was way more. No, I didn't. I probably should have, but it wasn't. The odds weren't very good if you took Justify. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about the exacta, trifecta, all or any other horse for that matter. So I didn't take it. The most fascinating thing about this was the weather, because on the TV broadcast you could hardly see the horses coming in, but it was closer. Like it was a very close race, and I thought I don't even know who the second one was.
Was it Good Magic?
No.
It wasn't? Who was it?
Bravazo.
Bravazo made the late push. Like, it almost caught him.
That's so interesting.
If it was another, like, three lengths, he would have caught him. Like, he was coming to get him from behind.
Good Magic was supposed to be...
He was the second favorite.
Yeah.
So, but this makes... What is it? The Belmont's next, right?
Yes.
This makes the Belmont much more interesting, because now you have a Triple Crown potential winner, which is pretty cool. Like, we're getting spoiled, though, because we saw it with American Pharoah a few years ago, and now we have possibly another one. But it's cool. It's good. It makes better horse racing better to watch.
All right, another one. Kings, Hawks could pass on Luka Doncic if he's not picked number one by the Suns.
This is all posturing. It's Luka Doncic trying to navigate, trying to dictate where he's going to go. I think he's trying to scare people when he says he's not 100% committed. He's trying to scare the teams that he doesn't want to go to into not selecting him. But ultimately, he's going to play, and he's going to play for – somebody in the NBA. I don't think he's going to fully, play hardball and not come over.
Would you be scared if you were the Kings or Hawks?
I would not be scared. I'd be concerned. And I'd probably be trying to do my best to recruit him somewhat to get him to buy in if you were going to take him.
Would you still pick him if he said he's not coming over for a year? At two or three. But knowing that he's, you know.
You still own his rights, right, in a year?
Yeah.
Probably. I'd probably be like, screw you. We're taking you no matter what. That's with me knowing zero intel on how good he could potentially be. Like, I hear
the
he's great, and
European
I hear he's good.
Best prospect ever.
Right, but we've seen a lot of Euro flops recently. All right, what else?
Michael Porter Jr. stakes claim as the best player in this draft.
Who doesn't? Like,
I know.
All,
I
like, Trey Young, I just
Trey
saw
Young
he
did.
If you, and now I almost feel like you have to say this. If you want to be a lottery pick, if you want to be a guy that's considered seriously, you have to have this mindset. Mm-hmm. Because what would it say if you're like, there's probably like 10 guys that are better than me. I think I'm okay. Like, you have to go in there and walk with confidence.
Right.
It's almost like the stock answer that you have to give. So no surprise there. All right. Topics. I hope there's
topics.
Some royal wedding ones in this one, Debo. Do you have any for us?
We're going to get to those at
okay.
the end.
Okay.
Some sports stuff first. Jake Fromm deals with danger on a daily basis when he plays going against those SEC defenses, Danny.
Ooh.
This a different kind of dangerous, though, is the Georgia quarterback who almost led the Dogs to a title in his freshman season was injured while fishing. He got a lure stuck deep into his leg and sent on a social media update from the ER. It looked nasty.
Yeah, it was awful. This sounds like something I would do because I am not a fisher or hunter. I'm more of a golfer, like that, along those lines. And this is one thing that actually terrifies me anytime I've been fishing, is that somebody, because I'm usually with guys who don't know what they're doing either, that I would get hooked like this.
I've gotten hooked.
You have?
Yeah, I've
Bad?
Gotten hooked.
Or just pull it out.
No,
like, did you have to
no,
take a
I
hospital
just pulled
run?
It out. No, it wasn't a hospital run. But like, it's always my fear that it's just going to be awful.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Like,
and it
that's
hurts.
Fear.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
My head is
right
on a swivel.
Stop.
Like a fish.
Shut up.
Shut up. You did?
Yeah.
Shut
when
up.
I was little, like six or seven. Not recently, but Fromm says he's an avid fisherman and outdoorsman. So
really, that's kind of disappointing.
Matter for him.
It did look like a very sophisticated lure, though.
Very sophisticated. Joel Embiid, not afraid of much on the court, actually embracing confrontation. Turns out the big man is petrified of water slides. Sixers co-owner Michael Rubin captured Embiid in the Bahamas refusing to go down this water slide and honestly looking like the biggest six-year-old in the world.
Yeah.
He eventually trusted the slide, but said that will be his last time.
Did he trust a big one or a little one? Because I saw him go on a little one. He actually did the big one?
Yeah.
Think about it, though. If you're 7 feet tall, you're wide, you're big, those slides are not made for 7 footers.
You got a $150 million contract.
Exactly. But I'm surprised the co-owner's like encouraging him to do this, because what happens if something goes wrong? I am not a ride person. If you're not a great swimmer, like there's times when you do those slides, when you come up and you get forced underwater and you feel like you can't breathe, I feel his pain.
No, I'm like afraid of like random stuff like that because I just don't
I was gonna
trust.
Ask, what's your like irrational fear?
I've been like skydiving. Like I don't really like
you
I don't
have.
Yeah, for some reason like stuff like that doesn't bother me. But like I don't trust like mechanical things like a Ferris wheel.
What about roller coasters? Yep.
Roller coaster, totally fine. I'm going so fast. If I die, it'll just be fast.
Very
fly
contradictory
off.
To
but
what
like,
you just said.
Right. You know what scares me? Remember those swings at a fair?
Yeah.
Like swing, there's no way that swing can hold my weight.
Flying off.
Really?
Yeah. That's like, what's that movie where everyone dies in like really crazy ways?
Scream?
No.
Final Destination.
Final Destination. Yeah. That's Scream. Like anytime
Which
I'm
one?
On any sort of like
11.5
entertainment device, I think of Final Destination.
I'm not a roller coaster guy. Oh. And that's like disappointing. My daughters look up to me in every hour and then they're like so disappointed and they're like, but now they're scared too. So they kind of inherit it from me.
Oh,
so my
no.
wife is like, she gets one of them, suckers one of them to go with her every time we go to Disney and I stand there and watch.
Are you afraid of like Ferris wheels?
No, I don't think I would be scared of where I haven't been on one in a long time.
When they stop at the top, I could throw up. I'm so nervous.
Really?
Who knows how long that like squeaky thing has been around? And what if just like one squeak is too far? No, but on a roller coaster, I feel more safe.
There was a new roller coaster. It was going to be the highest, steepest one in the world. And I think on like its first day.
Oh yeah.
It had an accident.
No, I'm not like, I support, I trust like Disney.
Right.
I trust
somebody's
Walt
been
Disney,
around a little bit.
And I trust
and
like
if anything
Universal.
Happens, and if anything happens, you're probably set for life.
That's true. But like Six Flags, you're on your own. I'm not doing any of that.
Six Flags ain't
not
bad.
Those like traveling fairs.
That's what I'm talking about.
With the carnies out there. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I don't I don't shame Joel Embiid for doing this. It says that it took him exactly 37 minutes to convince him to go down and then he got in and out of the slide six times.
That's great.
Respect. I respect it. I've been there.
So I've never seen a Star Wars film, but I'm quite aware of the existence of
You've
the
never
character
seen a Star
Chewbacca.
Wars film?
I have not. Well, Chewie, he was at courtside, game 3 of Cavs Celtics. Post game, Kevin Love asked teammate Kendrick Perkins if he wanted to hang with Chewbacca. Perkins said, "Who is that? I don't really keep up with that new stuff." The first Star Wars came out 41 years ago, 7 years before Perkins was born. So I guess new is just a relative term.
So.
Wait, that is so bad. Like, I've never seen, I don't know the difference between most Star Wars and Star Trek characters. Like, if.
But you know Chewbacca.
I know Chewbacca is one of them. I don't know, like, sorry. I don't know the difference in the two movies, but I still would be able to know, that's a character from one of the, like, best movies of all time.
You're a big fan of voices. Do you have a Chewbacca?
I used to do a Chewbacca. Like, I had to do this once when I was with Fox. They made me do a Chewbacca voice, like, live.
And
I blacked it out. I don't even remember what it sounds like. I had to look it up right before I did it, and then I did it probably very unsuccessfully.
So there's a couple things about this that really intrigue me. Is Kevin Love saying, do you want to go out with Chewbacca in the Chewbacca costume? Like, do you get, because that'd be an incredible, like.
That's true.
If you're looking for ways to meet girls, just bring Chewie as your wingman and you're set.
Right, most of the time you just need a dog. Exactly. But like, Chewbacca,
you bring Chewbacca, you'd
type
be
of girls
set.
That trying to.
Anyone, like, they would all come up to you.
Yeah.
The other thing, I'm going to give you guys some deep background on the current Chewbacca.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys know who plays Chewbacca?
Penn Stater.
Yes. You obviously know this. The guy played basketball at Penn State, and they actually, E60, actually, yesterday morning, I watched this with my daughters. It was on. They did a whole profile of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a European basketball player from Finland, came over, was like always into film, like studied film at Penn State, ended up quitting basketball, and then went back home to Finland, was like all depressed because he didn't like achieve his goals. He felt like he was a quitter because he quit the quit, you know, his basketball dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And he got like a random call. Somebody called the Finland national team and said, hey, we're looking for 7-footers with blue eyes.
Wow.
Do you have any? And he gets it. So he goes, sends in an audition tape of him like acting like a gorilla, like that was an attacked by somebody.
Wow.
And gets the gig. So now he's Chewbacca. Like, it's
incredible.
A pretty fascinating story.
I wonder what that contract looks
and
like.
And then I was wondering, that had to have been him at the game, right? So then I was like, maybe Kevin Love knows him from basketball, and they're kind of buddies, and then they go out without Chewbacca.
Oh, wow, you really thought this through.
I did.
No,
that's
a good point. That's a good point.
I don't think Penn State was playing UCLA in those days.
Yeah, but you never know, like, Somerville.
But the guy, Junis, he posted a picture with the three hobbits from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, they're all like
and his face was cropped out of the photo.
That was a
pretty funny one. All right, we've held off long enough. Royal wedding. Reactions.
Go.
Oh.
Go.
Okay, best dressed couple of the night. The Beckhams. Did y'all see them?
Of course.
Oh,
of course they looked
the
best because they're
talking
kind of obnoxious.
Talking about old, he's 43. I just looked it up.
Really?
He still kills it.
Yeah. No, he looks pretty good. What's
about
her name?
George
Posh?
Namal.
Victoria Beckham.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Posh.
Posh.
Spice.
Yeah.
You can call her Posh.
But she's too skinny. She's too small.
I mean, yeah, but she's like always been skinny, so it's fine.
Right.
yeah,
so it's okay if she
I really have nothing else to say. I mean, I enjoyed the royal wedding. I got shamed for not watching it live. I did record it. And I recorded the Billboard Music Awards, and I really need to go back and watch Jennifer Lopez's performance again because it was so good. Kelly Clarkson, instead of doing a moment of silence, did a moment of action for the recent high school shooting in Santa Fe, which I thought was unbelievable. I just thought it was a really good performance.
Nice.
And I don't know what else to say.
Who the heck is,
everything's irrelevant.
Who is BTS?
Oh my gosh, I
have
no
damn clue. Because I thought K-pop was
supposed
to be like the next hot boy band
from
Japan, and then all of a sudden this group shows up out of nowhere,
these?
And they've got fans like that are filling up the whole auditorium.
It's a Korean band, right?
Yes, or Japanese, I'm not sure.
I'm not entirely positive.
I thought they were from Tokyo, but I could be wrong.
The crowd, like when people talk about this band, BTS.
They went
nuts.
South Korea, you are right. Where was K-pop from?
We can't keep up.
No.
No, I don't know who these people are. I don't know where they come from.
South Korea.
Like
they were both of them. So South Korea is exploding with boy band talent.
I don't know where they come from, like on the scene. Like that's my question is like, are they like Instagram famous? Like,
no, they have like a huge following in South Korea, like as a boy band. Like they're extremely
I get that. Like I understand that part.
But you don't know if they're
power
legit
to them because their fan base is so incredibly loud.
Yeah.
That it seems like everyone at the Music Awards was just a fan of them only. Like that's how crazy they are.
Back to the royal wedding.
Back to the royal wedding.
So I was relatively aware of Meghan Markle. Like I knew she was American.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she was an actress.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know like all of her background. Like I didn't know she was
divorced.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I'm shocked. Like at some of this stuff that the royal family mm-hmm. actually allowed some of this to happen.
But this is why it's such a good story because she's
right.
relatable.
Right. Like, no, and I thought that's why. Then when I was watching it, and there's one photo, Debo brought it up, that I saw on Twitter or Instagram somewhere, and it's of her. She's 15 years old, and she looks like any American kid mm-hmm. who goes and sits in front of Buckingham Palace and takes a picture and is like, oh, isn't this place cool? As a total tourist. And then they had like the side by side with her and Harry coming out like in the horse-drawn carriage. Like it's insane.
Yeah, that is insane.
To think of where her life started and where it's gone to. Like it's just.
It gives us hope, guys. It gives us hope. I read something that 2 years ago she was
what if
like.
You're married already and you already have 3 kids.
Okay. It gives me hope. Guys, it gives me hope. 2 years ago she was living in Toronto, like 2 years ago on the day of her wedding. She was living in Toronto.
Yes.
Still filming
stuff. How fast did that happen?
And
that's why she got a divorce.
She had just started
long,
dating
long
Harry.
Distance.
Really?
She was in Toronto filming Suits, and her husband's
you guys
a producer
watch
in
Suits?
L.A.
No.
It's good.
It is pretty good. I've heard it was pretty decent. See, but now I wonder if it'll get a lot of viewers because she was in it and people want to go see
absolutely.
Her. And how
just
she
like
was.
I now am suddenly interested in like a crappy Lifetime movie because she was in it. Like I'm interested
you know
to see what
kind
of
cool?
actress she was.
You know what else is kind of cool? When she was 12 or 11, she saw a commercial on TV that she thought was sexist because it showed only women cleaning dishes and it was like for a dish detergent. So she like wrote a letter to the company and had them change their ad to include a man in there, like in, like was an activist from a very young age. And now like that's basically her job is to be a humanitarian and an activist around the world. Like,
right.
So she actually had some of this in her, like from a young age, which I think is pretty cool.
I would love to have like a microphone in on their first date.
Well, you know, it was a blind date.
Blind date.
Yeah, she was set up.
Devo knows more about this than Hannah,
honestly,
which is a little bit scary.
No, she was set up from a friend.
Yes.
Which, like, what are my friends doing? I would just like to know what they're doing with
seriously.
Their lives and why they felt like I couldn't be set up with someone like this situation.
Are there any odds on whether they make it or not? That's really
come
a depressing
on.
Thought.
It's dark.
Hey, no, 50, I've 50 had a lot of people
like,
have that exact
it's
same thought.
Half, like, half of marriages are going to end in divorce.
No, it's down. It's not half anymore.
Oh, really?
It's down, yeah.
Well, that's sad because no one's getting married anymore. That's probably why.
No.
You have some.
We
some
want to. We want to.
All right. We'll save the marriage episode for the next podcast. We good? Is this a wrap? All right. That's a wrap for Monday. We can't wait to get Raja back. He'll be back on Wednesday. Stick with us. We'll probably be a little bit all over the place this summer. We have big announcements coming, but we do have vacation, so we might have people in different places, but we're still going to make it work for our benchwarmers because that's what we do. Make sure you go check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, download, leave us a 5-star review. We'll get to those 5-star reviews. Ask us a question in the reviews. We'll get to those on 5-star for a 5-star Q&A. And as always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Kanell and Bell.